It all began in Belfast, Ireland, at the Harlan & Wolff shipyard. 3,000 men would work 16-hour days, 6 days a week, for more than 2 years. They were building a monster, the largest moving man-made object ever. This monster was a ship. It was a delight for the men building her, but some found the ship's size alarming, as it could have been seen for miles away, eclipsing the town and the people that lived there. The fate of this ship, even today, 100 years later, still fascinates the world. Her name is Titanic, and these are her untold stories. One man that is an expert on all things Titanic is world-renowned shipwreck diver John Chatterton, who has his own idea of why, even 100 years later, Titanic is as popular as ever.
People all around the world respond to the story of Titanic, which really isn't a story. It's really, you know, hundreds and hundreds of little vignettes, really.
It was a group of men at the White Star Line that came up with the idea for the Titanic and her two sister ships, Olympic and Britannic, in 1906. Now, construction of the Titanic actually started after her sister ship Olympic in 1909.
It was representative of where the culture was going at the time. You know, I mean, this is the Industrial Revolution, and Titanic was so grand. It was so big.
With her sheer size, weight was a major problem, but the ship's builders came up with a complex solution.
The Titanic's original design called for much more in the way of structural steel. It called for thicker hull plating. In the interest of making the ship lighter, which made the ship cheaper to operate, you know, the thickness of the hull plates was cut down. The amount of structural steel was cut back.
With less steel in the ship, not only was it a lighter ship, but it was a cheaper ship for the White Star Line to build, and they already had their fair share of financial problems leading up to the building of the Titanic.
The natural assumption is, the beam counters put financial interest ahead of the integrity of the ship.
Was it the beam counters that doomed the ship right from the start?
Thicker hull plating or more structural steel could have meant that somehow, some way, Titanic stayed afloat another 5 hours.
Those extra 5 hours could have allowed other ships to arrive at the wreck site and possibly save everyone on board. But was it really that simple?
To tell you the truth, the integrity of Titanic as constructed was as well built as any ship being built today.
We know that the ship was strong, but how strong was the Titanic? Really?
A modern-day ship wouldn't have lasted as long as Titanic.
In light of recent events, we could see the Titanic lasting longer than others. But the question remains, why did William H. Perry and Bruce Ismay build the Titanic and her sister ships so big? And what set these ships apart from the rest?
This was the latest in technology. This was a bold, radical concept, you know, big and luxurious. In other words, it wasn't just about function. It was also about fashion. This was a work of art.
This work of art was grand and beautiful. But who was the ship built for? The rich, the poor, or both?
The sinking of Titanic was so improbable. The scope of the tragedy, a tragedy that literally cut across class lines, you know, a lower class, middle class, and upper class. You had some of the wealthiest people in the world, and you had literally immigrants with virtually nothing trying to start a new life.
It was these people that put their trust in a ship that was called unsinkable.
It wasn't the White Star Line. It wasn't Harlan and Wolff who described this ship as unsinkable. It was the media. They looked at Titanic and they said, oh, this is the pinnacle of achievement of our culture, our civilization. Look at the size of this. It is unsinkable.
How did the unsinkable ship sink? And why did so many people die that night? We'll have the answers tomorrow on Titanic's Untold Stories. I'm Alan Bailey for AudioEightBall.com.